Samach Zayin. We left off on Daf Samach Vav Amid Beis. We are at the last skinny line on Samach Vav Amid Beis. Amar Rav Mari. So today's sugya is really one major sugya of today's Daf, and that is the sugya of No Sein Tam Lefgam. That when something gives, we'll see exactly what the sugya is, but it's a unique Daf in that there's one sugya and it's a very identifiable sugya. We've had that for the last couple of days, that we've been able to easily identify a single sugya that is the topic of the daf. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Mari, Kitanai. We have this issue of Bastiha is actually Machlokas Tanaim. Let's just remind ourselves what exactly the issue of Bastiha, and let's remind ourselves what yesterday's sugya was. Yesterday's sugya was Recha Milsa or Recha Lav Milsa. I actually finished off saying that the whole issue of Recha Milsa, Recha Lav Milsa appears in the Gemara in Maseches Pesachim as well. Over there it's Machlokas between Rav and Levi. Over here it's a machlokas between Rava and Abaye, and we pointed out that even if you hold that Recha is a complete non-issue in terms of the way we use our ovens nowadays, either because our ovens are much bigger, they're not such tiny enclosed areas, or because we're not using we generally anyway don't use the oven at the same exact time for both meat and dairy, so therefore it would not be an issue of Recha anyhow. Recha is the aroma of one food going into the other food, but we have another issue, a different issue called Zeya, right? The issue of Zeya is not an issue that appears in Shas, it's an issue that appears in Mishnayos and Machshirin, and that the Rush in a Tshuva made into a big deal in terms of the way we use our ovens. And that's where you have a whole bunch of poskim that disagree about, you have a lot of variety amongst the poskim about how to properly use the same oven for both Milchik and Fleishik, because they all have to answer the one major question, and that question is, why does the Gemara never bring up Zeya when it talks about Recha, when it talks about using the same oven for kosher and non-kosher? How come Zeya was never an issue for the Gemara? So depending on how you answer that question, it's going to determine exactly how you use the oven. So the most makel sheet is known as the sheet of Aruch HaShulchan, the sheet of the Aruch HaShulchan, which basically says you can use the same oven for both Milchik and Fleishik, as long as you let it cool down in between. As long as the heat of the oven is not still there from the previous baking, so you leave it empty for a half hour, and then you can right away uncovered cook the other type. If you cook milk, you cook fleishik afterwards. Others say no, you have to wait 24 hours. At least wait till it becomes a tampagum. Rav Moshe holds none of that is good enough. That you can't. You just have to choose in the first place. Is this going to be a milchig oven or is it going to be a fleishik oven? And you cook milchig or fleishig uncovered in it, but you cannot cook both, even more than 24 hours apart from each other, uncovered in the same oven. Rav Moshe, of course, if you kasher it in between, that would be fine. If you wait 24 hours and then kasher it, that would be okay according to Rav Moshe, but Rav Moshe has very strict standards about how to kasher an oven. He holds that if you have a self-cleaning oven, so you can kasher it with a self-clean, but to just turn on the oven to its highest temperature and let it and allow it to go to its greatest heat, kibolo kach polto, Rav Moshe does not hold that that would suffice for kashering an oven. In fact, when Talmidim of Rav Moshe would move into an apartment that already had an oven in it, and therefore the oven was assumed to be non-kosher because the previous tenants, or some of the previous tenants at some point, were non-Jews, Rav Moshe would have them buy an oven insert. He would have them buy like a metal insert that would cover all the walls of the oven, because he held that you couldn't easily kasher one of these ovens. That's what my brother did when he bought his first apartment, rented his first apartment in Baltimore. They had to get an oven insert. Totally messes up the cooking process, but you know, she wasn't going to complain because she's an anical great-granddaughter, so what was she going to do? So, yeah. What?
Did he complain?
No, he didn't complain either. He's a big Rav Moshe guy, so he didn't complain. Okay, so anyway, did we do that, Tosos? Might as well. Did we? I don't recall if we did that. Rav Amutar Reichel Av Milsi. Yes, let's take a quick look at that. It's a short daf anyway. And the main Sugi of Nelson Tanafgam really carries us over in tomorrow's daf, so we could, if we don't get to it today, we'll get to it tomorrow. Rav Amutar Reichel Av Milsi, so says Tosfos, Perikates Atzolin Pligi Nami Rav Levi, that in Mesechus Pesachim you have this machlokas between Rav and Levi, Perecha, in regards to Recha, Gabe Basar Shamein Chatzolo and Basar Nevela, when it comes to fatty meat that's roasted together with basar nevela. Rav asar v'levi shari. Rav holds its asar, levi holds its mutter. V'hasam tanya kavase de Rav. And over there we have a brisa that supports Rav. Upirisham Rashi v'yafal gav de tanya kavase de Rav. The asar, even though there's a brisa that says that recha is asar, mikal makom halacha k'levi de shari mishum de Rav asavar kavase hacha gabe bastia. Nevertheless, Rashi says we got to paskin like Levi, that it's mutter because Rava holds like Levi. The machlokas here, Abaye and Rava, parallels exactly the machlokas of Masechus Pesachim, and we know that the halacha is like Rava against Abaye, and the halacha is like Rava against Rav and Levi also, against Rav also, because Rav is a Basra. V'halacha k'Rava l'gabe Abaye, pasuk k'Rashi, Perikates Atzolin, and that's how Rashi paskins in Perikates Atzolin. As Mori V'Rabbi Rav Willig once said when we were learning Chulin together, he said that it's very rare for Rashi to get involved in Pesach Halacha, and whenever he does, he gets in big trouble. All the other Rishonim jump all over him. So this is one of those rare instances where Rashi says, I'm going to paskin, and I'm going to tell you that we have to paskin like Rava, Lechumra, what does Rava say? That Lekula, that Rechalav Milsihi. So says Tosos, for Lonira, I don't think that that's correct. The Hasam Ka'amar, Du Uvda Havabahu Binisa, Di Itva Bahadi Bisra, Va Asre Rava, Mi Parzaka, Lemichle, Bekutcha. Over there, the Gemara tells a story where Rava Miparzaka assered on account of Recha. So don't tell me that we have to paskin like Levi, that Recha is Lav Milsa. We have on good standing that there was a Maiserav. The Maiserav is a very powerful tool in Pesach Halacha when you're looking for Rayas, which way to paskin. The fact that someone didn't just say it in a Beis Medrash, but actually paskin it La Halacha, the Maisa for somebody, is a very powerful statement. So we have a Maisa Rav that someone paskin the chumra. V'gam mar baravashi osar shama filu bimilcha v'halacha kamoso bar mitre mili. And also mar baravashi paskin this way, and we paskin like mar baravashi. V'od kasha di pligi abai v'rav pluk to the Rav Levi. But the most fundamental question of all is if the machlokas in our Gemara between Abaye and Rava later Amorayim is the exact same machlokas as the machlokas between Rav and Levi earlier Amorayim, im kain havle lusuyu pluk tayu hasam. Then this machlokas should have been brought in the sugya of Recha. Someone should have mentioned something about how the two machlokasim relate to each other. The fact that that in neither sugya is the other machlokas mentioned leads you to believe that they're not arguing about the same thing. They use the same words, whether Recha means something, Recha milsa, Recha lav milsa, but it can't mean the same thing. So what is the difference? It says Tosos l'chei nira devadei halacha kerav dahasam. The halacha is like Rav over there, that Recha is Milsa. The halacha k'Rava nami hacha gabi bastiha, the Recha lav Milsahi. And the halacha is also like Rava over here, by bastiha, that Recha is lav Milsa. Just to remind you, bastiha is the case where you have a barrel of wine and you stick like a straw in it or something to smell, not to drink from, to smell and test the wine. So we said that if Yisrael does that to an Ovid Kochavim's wine, so is that considered that he's drinking the wine or not? So Abaye said it's Asur because Recha Milsa. Rava said it's Mutter. So is that the same machlokas as baking in the same oven a piece of kosher meat and a piece of non-kosher meat, where the aroma of the non-kosher meat goes to the kosher meat? So says those, they're not at all the same machlokas. When it comes to the machlokas by the two pieces of meat in the oven, then we paskin that Recha Milsihi, and that it is problematic. Over here, we paskin like Rava, that Recha Lav Milsihi. And guess what? Tosa says, Abayinami Dahach. So don't tell me, you might think that the road we're heading down is now telling you that the Recha of the meat is a stronger form of Recha, and therefore Abaye over here, who says that Recha of Bastia is Milsa, is going to say Kal v'chomer, the Recha of the meat is a real form of Recha. So says also Abaye nami dahacha, damar Recha Milsihi, amar le'an adamri afilu kalevi. Abaye, who says over here, Recha Milsa, could tell you, no, I even hold like Levi when it comes to the meat, that Recha's Lav Milsa. Dabar Hasam Recha Lav Milsa he. Why? Tishayni hachashu nena umariach mina iser hayayin atzmo. Over here, as you're smelling it, you're smelling the wine itself. It's right there in front of you as you're smelling it. Hilka chavi legamri kilu shosa mina yayin atzmo. And therefore, that's a parallel to drinking the wine. When you smell the wine and it's a very strong smell, you taste it in the back of your throat. That's a very, very strong connection to drinking the wine itself. But over there, when you cook two pieces of meat, when you eat the kosher meat, the non-kosher meat has been thrown in the garbage, eaten by a dog, whatever. It's gone. It's not here anymore. And you're just eating a piece of kosher meat that has absorbed some recha of a non-kosher meat. But you're eating a cheftza shel heter. So that's what Abaye will say. In that case, of course I'll agree recha lav milsa. I would agree to Levi. But in our case, I think we have to be more machmir because you're getting hanad directly from the wine. And Rava nami dahacha amalei hanadam riafil karav. Rava, who over here is makel with the recha by the wine, could say that I'm going to be machmir in the case of the oven. The amar asam recha milsihi, I'm going to be machmir like Rav who says recha milsihi. Why? Dishayni hacha shareach maziklo lefisha nichnas begufo. Because over here Rava says, you know why I'm going to be makel? Because the recha is damaging. It hurts you. It bothers you because it goes into your guf. That's why recha is not going to be an iser. Hilkach bein Abaye bein Rava dahacha matu savri bein Karav bein Kalevi dahasam. And therefore Tosla says the two machloksim are not at all related. It's not even that one is more chumra than the other. Both Rava and Abaye could hold like both Rav and Levi over there. They're two completely separate machloksim. If you skip down a little bit further, about five lines further in Tosos, he writes, Aval betanurim gedolim shalanu, in our larger ovens, ein lachush l'recha, we have nothing to worry about when it comes to recha. Ubelvad shalo yei piatan rasasim, as long as the mouth of the oven is not closed, ve'ein lachush im afu pashtida shal basar, im terita shal gavina, betanur echad, rak shalo yigu zebeze, oema iser. And you don't have to worry if you baked something made out of milch and fleishik together in the same oven, as long as they don't touch each other, because the recha is only going to be a problem in an enclosed area, a small enclosed area, but a larger unenclosed area is not going to be a problem. Now, when Tosa says tanurim shalanu, does not necessarily mean tanurim shalanu, in the 21st century. That should be self-evident, right? We have to be careful about how we define our ovens. Our ovens are closed, they're vented. They are vented, but they're pretty much closed. They're not tiny. They are a little bit larger. So exactly where it fits is a good kasha. But anyway, lahalach we paskin like Levi. Anyway, meikra din we paskin recha lav milsihi. It's just that we're choshish lechatchil and shulchan aruch for the shita of Rav to be choshish lechatchil for recha milsi. So, but the oven doesn't answer anything. Recha is not going to answer anything. Our primary concern when it comes to ovens, like we said before, is more the concern of Zaya, that not just the aroma, but the actual steam is going to go from one to the other. The steam is going to go to the ceiling of the oven and drip down into the other food. So some poskim say, in our ovens, we certainly don't have to worry about Zaya. Zaya is like a thick hevel. It's like a thick type of steam that you would see, that when you open up the oven, you would see the oven is filled with this steam. And we don't really have that so much. We don't really see that so much. But the truth is, we do have it in a microwave. Whenever you cook something in a microwave, there's an enormous amount of zeya. That's the way that it's a tiny area, it's a very small area, and that's the way it cooks. It heats up the microwaves, whatever, I don't really fully understand it, but through some sort of magic, it heats up the liquid first within the item. So it causes tremendous amounts of steam. So zeya is a much, much bigger issue when it comes to a microwave. So in a certain sense, microwaves are more kal, in a certain sense they're more chamer, because they're more kal since they don't have any heat. They don't have any inherent heat. So in that sense, it's more kal. It's more chamer in the sense that there's a lot more steam. So it's it's one of the things that could really be a problem that people aren't necessarily always aware of, that milchigs and fleishigs uncovered in the same microwave is asking for trouble. It's really not the right thing to do. They sell very cheap and easy to use food covers for microwaves, and not only the kosher companies sell one in red and one in blue for milchig and fleishig, but you can buy it in Bed Bath and Beyond for, like, I don't know, 99 cents, $1.99. Some kosher companies charge $5.99, whatever. But the point is, very easy to use milchig and fleishig microwave covers that are very, very much kedai to use. And actually, yesterday I got a shayla about Zaya. Happens to be Daf Yomi coincidence. There we go. Got one for today. So I got a shayla about Zaya. Someone asked me that. They asked about a woman was making chicken soup, a pot of chicken soup, and she keeps her urn plugged in the whole week, because I guess they don't have an instant hot water thing, except for this. So they leave the urn plugged in, and she just moved the hot pot of chicken soup over onto the counter, and she noticed the steam was going right up into the urn. So she says that she has to assume that her urn is fleishigs now, right? Because the steam of the chicken soup was going into it. So that's a situation, that's a concern, obviously, not of Recha, but of Zeya, but because it's on a counter in an open area, the chances that the steam, by the time it hits the spout of the urn, to still be Yatzaledes are very slim. So I said, chances are the steam was not Yatzaledes, so all you need to do is wipe it off. Now, if the steam was Yatzaledes at the point that it hits the spout, so then maybe you have a problem. Then there is what to be concerned about, certainly. Okay, so let's see the Gemara Vayter. So we're on the last skinny line of Daf Samach Vavan Beis, right? That's where we started 15 minutes ago. So says Gemara, Amar Rav Mari, Kitanai, we had this issue of Bastiha, of the wine that you smell to be able to test the wine, is actually the subject of Machlokas Tanayin. Harod de Paschama v'nasna al pichavis. Let's say you take down hot bread from the oven, meaning the way they would bake the bread is actually on the outside of the oven. You ever see the pictures of the ovens look like a cone, and the way it would work is they wouldn't put the bread inside of it, they would wrap the dough outside of that cone, around that cone, and then they would do something called Radias Hapas. It was a whole chachma to be able to take the bread off of the oven. So let's say you take the bread off the oven, it's boiling hot bread, and you put it al pichavish shel yayin shel truma, and you put it right on top of a barrel of truma wine. So the aroma of the truma wine certainly can get into the bread, or not certainly, but possibly can get into the bread. Rameir says it's aser. Rabbi Yehuda Matir. Rabbi Yehuda says that's mutter. Rabbi Yossi Matir b'shal chitin va'osir b'shal sa'arim. Rabbi Yossi says it depends what the bread is made out of. If the bread is made out of wheat, so then he says it's going to be mutter. If the bread is made out of barley, then it's going to be asir. M'nesha sa'orim shoavos. Because barley has the ability to draw, has the ability to, it has like a pull to it, a magnetic pull to it almost, and therefore it's going to draw the tam of the yayin, and therefore you have to assume the bread has tam of yayin in it, so it's aser. My love, Hakamilchi. So, what are they arguing about? So, isn't it the following? Now, leaving Rabbi Yossi out of it, it's just the Pasha Machlokes from Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Aren't they arguing whether Recha Milsa, Recha Lav Milsa? Rabbi Yossi would then obviously be saying somewhere in the middle that Recha is Milsa, but it needs to be something that actually draws the Recha out. So aren't they arguing about Recha? So says the Gemara, L'Rava Vade Tanaihi. Rava, who says that Recha over here is Lav Milsa, would say, yes, it's Machlokas Tanaim. Rav Meir is the one that's Machmir, and we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against Rav Meir, and that's exactly why I paskined Lakula. So Rava will tell you, of course, it is a Machlokas Tanaim, and he paskins the way he paskins because that's the rule. You paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Meir. So Rava, it's a no-brainer. La Abaye, mi lema Tanayi. But according to Abaye, do you have to say that it's Machlokas Tanaim? If you look at Rashi, La Abaye, damer milsi, lema katanayi, mi aminan Rabbi Yehuda, lesle da Abaye. Do you have to say that Abaye goes against Rabbi Yehuda? He's taking on Rabbi Yehuda and paskin like Rabbi Meir over here. Odil Maliolam Islay, the time of Rabbi Yehuda Acha, the Savrain Reach Yai Nichnas Bepas, Al Bastia, the Reach Nesach Nichnas Beguf, Modu. But maybe there's a difference between the two cases. Amalach Abai, right, maybe Abai will say that the taste, the Recha of the Yayin is not going to enter a hot piece of bread that's on top of the barrel. But when you smell, Bedavka, a barrel of Yayin Nesach, then the Recha of the Yayin certainly enters your Guf. And therefore it's certainly going to be considered considered some level of shtia when you smell it. So according to Abai, do we have to say it's tanai? It's machlokes tanaim. Amlecha Abai. Abai would respond, Lav miyit mar Allah. Didn't we say about that machlokes tanaim that Amar Rabba Bar Bechana Amar Reish Lakish bepaschah mavuchavis pesucha divrei akal asura? If the bread was hot and the barrel was open, everyone would hold that it's aser. Why? Why does everyone hold that it's aser? Because recha milsa. Abai will say everyone holds that it's aser because that is recha. The recha will definitely transfer, and recha is a problem. So everyone would hold that it's aser. Bepast sonenes v'chavis magufa divrei akol muteres. If the bread is cold and the barrel is sealed, everyone's going to hold that it's muter. Then you have tarti l'tivusa. You have both factors working in your favor. Cold bread, sealed barrel, everything's going to be mutter. Lo nechleku ella bepaschama v'chavis magufa. Where is this machlokas from Meir Rabbi Yehuda apply? Only if it's hot bread, but the barrel itself is sealed, or bepaschonenes v'chavis psucha, or it's cold bread, but the barrel is open. Meaning you have chadal reyusa and chadal tevusa. Of the two factors, one is working more toward the side that you're getting recha, and the other factor is working more toward the side that you're not getting recha. And Abaye will simply say, take a look at my case of bastiha, where you're smelling the wine. That is the equivalent of paschama and chavis psucha, because that is as strong a transference of recha as you can possibly have. The transference of the wine into the human body as you smell it, as you smell the strong aromas of the wine, that is a very strong transference of recha. That is the equivalent of taking a hot piece of bread and putting it over an open barrel. Fine, period. Zaklal. Now we're going to go revisit the Mishnah, and this is today's sugya. Kol Shabbat Nosim Nosim Tam. The Mishnah had said that whenever there is a Nosim Tam L'Shvach, whenever the Yayin Nesach gives a positive taste into whatever it fell in, that's going to be Aser. Whenever it's Ein Ba Nosim Nosim Tam, meaning in our terminology, Nosim Tam L'Fgam, whenever it gives a negative taste into whatever it's put in, that's going to be Mutter. Amar Vidom Shmuel Hachi Hilchsas. Rav Yehuda Shmuel says, by the way, we paskin that way. We paskin that there's a difference between nosin tam lufgam and nosin tam lushvach. Beware what that means. What that means with nosin tam lufgam is I can have chazer treif that I can taste it, I can detect it in my food, I can detect the taste of chazer treif in my food, but it makes my food taste worse, not better. That's mutter. Totally mutter. Even though I could taste that it's chazer treif, that's totally mutter. V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel lo shanu, meaning the point is that we'll get to what the point is, how we know that nosin tam lufgam is actually mutter. But apparently this places a tremendous premium on taste, on how food tastes in terms of its kashrus status. Obviously, this places a tremendous premium. I'm reminded of the story Dr. Gantra tells in his book, where he describes that he was on the plane to Vietnam, and there was a Reform rabbi sitting next to him, and the only thing they served on the plane was ham. And the Reform rabbi went crazy. It's an insult to my religion. How could you serve this? He said, then they got to Vietnam, and in the mess hall or whatever, and they were serving bacon and eggs in the morning. And the Reform rabbi sat down to eat his bacon and eggs. And Dr. Gansher said, you just made a whole stink on the plane. Now you're sitting here and you're eating bacon. He said, yeah, but I love bacon. So bacon's delicious. So there's a tremendous premium on taste. So that would be, I guess, the opposite of what the Gemara is trying to say. V'am Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. So Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel says, Lo shanu el shanafel etoch gris in rotchin. It's only an issue when it falls into hot grisin. Avel nafel etoch grisin sonin in v'tichan. But let's say it falls into cold grisin, and then you boil it up. Nasa kemisha shbiach l'b'sof pagam v'aser. Meaning, when do we say that Yayin Nesach in Grisin is by definition giving a bad taste? That's when Yayin Nesach falls into hot Grisin. It's going to give a bad taste. It's going to be Nosin Tam Lofgam, and therefore by definition it's going to be Mutter. But when Yayin Nesach falls into cold Grisin, that's Nosin Tam L'Shvach, and that's going to be Aser. So what happens if it falls into cold Grisin and then you go and you heat it up? So he says, that's Nasa Kami Sheshviach. It first gave a Tam L'Shvach, But then l'besof pagam, and then it became pagum. So that's aser. Says Tosos, nasach misha shviach tema. Amay nakar hay lishna tahavadai mashbiachu. What do you mean nasach misha? It made as if it was hishbiach l'besof pagum. It's not as if. That's exactly what happened. That it was hishbiach and l'besof pagum. So says Tosos. That the real shavach only comes after it boils up and cools down. So that's why we say it's nasa kemi, it's not directly. Ravan Amar Rabbi Baruch Hanan said the same thing, that the whole halacha that when yayin nesach falls into greasin, that it's going to give a tam pagum is only if it falls into greasin that are boiling, that are already hot. But if it falls into cold greasin, vihir tichan, and you boil them up, that's considered as if it was l'shvach and then became pagum, and it's therefore aser because it's aser because it originally became originally was nosin tam l'shvach. And that's what they would do every Erev Shabbos in Tzipori, and they used to call that Shechlayim. So that's the idea, that if it's originally Nosin Tam L'Shvach, even if ultimately it turns into negatives, so that it turns into a negative taste, so that's going to be that's still going to be problematic because it originally was Nosin Tam L'Shvach. Okay, we'll discuss this in more detail a little bit later on. Let's just make sure we get through the Gemara. Amrei Shlakish, Nosin Tam L'Fkam Sha'amru Lo Shi'amru K'teiru Zu Chaser HaMelech Yaser HaMelech. When we say Nosin Tam L'Fkam, it doesn't mean that you say that this pot of food is missing salt or has too much salt. Chaser HaTavlin Yaser HaTavlin is missing spice or has too much spice. It's spiced perfectly, but it can't be eaten because of the non-kosher taste that's in it. Meaning you don't like the non-kosher taste that's in it. So it's not about the spicing. So what does that mean exactly? If you look at Rashi, he explains a little bit more. Lo Sheyomri says, Chumrahi. This statement of the Gemara is a Chumra, it is not a Kula. Kolomar, Lo Sheyuchlu Lases Pegam Betavshil Machmas Davar Acher, Kegon Shate If there's anything else wrong with the pot, wrong with the food, it's missing salt, it doesn't have enough spices, anything else wrong with the food, then you cannot be tola, the tam pagum, the negative taste, on the chazer that's in your food, on the taste of chazer that's in your food. You have to assume that the tam pagum is a result of the way that it was spiced. But Ezu Tam Lufkam Shemutter says Rashi, Kol She'ena Chaseru Shum Tikun Ve'ena Nechalus Bepnei Zeh Kolomar Ve'isur Zeh Pogim Taima. It doesn't need anything else. All the spices were perfect. Everything was good. It's just that the Tam of the Chazer ruins the taste of your food, and that's why it can't be eaten. Now, can't be eaten? Is that, does it really have to get that bad that it's Ena Nechalus? So Rashi points out Ve'ena Nechalus Lav Dafka. We don't really mean to say that it can't be eaten, that it's literally inedible, that it's not Roy Lachil. That's a similar issue, but different from Nosin Tam Lufkam. We'll discuss a little bit later on or tomorrow. Ve'en Nechal Slav Dafka doesn't really mean can't be eaten. Dekivan de Pekimasa Porta Karila in an echelas. As long as it's pogame, the taste a little bit, that's enough to be considered in an echelas in regards to Nosin Tam Lufgam. Meaning, as long as it's not as delicious as it was, that's enough for it to be considered Nosin Tam Lufgam. Now, if it's very, very slight, so that's a discussion in the postgame. If the tam pogum is something that's so slight that it's almost indetectable, so that's a discussion in the postgame. But right now, what we're assuming is it's still edible, but it makes it not as good. The Beis Yosef points out that even if it's very slight, Beis Yosef writes that even if it's even okay, it's even mutter, if it impaired the taste slightly and didn't make it totally inedible, and the raya to that is that even if it's just the slightest tam pagum, that's going to be mutter. The raya to that is that we assume that you can use a pot that was cooked, that had cooked non-kosher food, as long as that pot is an Einu Ben Yomo, it's no Sein Tam Lefgam. The taste that's absorbed in the pot gives a Tam Pagum into the food that you're cooking in there right now, and therefore the food that you're cooking in there now is kosher, even though it's getting Tam of Chazer Treif into the food, but it's considered Tam Pagum. Now, how Pagum is that really, this very slight Tam that's in the pot? So Beis Yosef points out, most people can't even detect it. They can't even tell that it was cooked in a pot. The food that they're eating was cooked in a pot with Chazer Treif. Certainly, they're not going to say, this was cooked in a pot with something that was used more than 24 hours ago. Because guess what? Every time we eat food, most of the time we eat food, it was cooked in a pot that was used more than 24 hours ago. It doesn't have to be Chazer Treif, even if it was kosher food. Halacha considers it a Tam Pagum, right? Yet, we don't consider it to be so disgusting. So that's what you see. That's what the Beis Yosef writes. You see that even if it's just a very, very slight Tam Pagum, it still is not going to affect the food negatively. And this way, it's different than a plain piece of non-kosher food. I mean, in this way, no Sein Tam Lefgam is different than Ein Roi L'Achila. Ein Roi L'Achila is also kosher, but Ein Roi L'Achila means you have a piece of chazer in front of you. So if it becomes Ein Roi L'Achila, becomes destroyed to the point that it's Ein Roi L'Achila, then it's no longer non-kosher. Then it becomes kosher. But that has to be totally, totally ruined. That you can't just say, oh, it's starting to turn a little bit. Right? That's the difference between Tam, when you don't have the mamashos of the Yisr, versus eating the direct mamashos of the Yisr. That's one of the differences. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, V'ikad Amri, Reish Lakish, and others say that Reish Lakish, what Reish Lakish said was as follows, No Sein Tam Lefgam Sha'amru, Ein Omrin Kedera Zu Chaseira Melech, Yisera Melech, Chaseira Tavlin, Yisera Tavlin, Ela Hashta Mia HaPagma. So what does that mean? If you look at Rashi, what's this Ikad Amri? That Reish Lakish is actually saying something Lekula, not Lechumra. The first version was that it was a Chumra. That everything else, if you want to rely on No Sein Tam Lefgam, everything else about the pot and the food must be absolutely perfect. Reish Lakish is saying, though, Lekula, if you look at Rashi, No Sein Tam Lefgam Shamru Ein Omer Klomar. Ein Tolin HaPagam B'Dover Acher. Lomar Chaseri Himelach. We are not told that the Tam Pagum on some external factor like a lack of salt. V'ilu ha'isa kitikuna lo ha'yaza iser pogma, and if only the food was the way it was supposed to be, then the iser wouldn't be pogim. It shamelech ha'yam mevatel as pigimas tama iser umesakno, because the salt would be mevatel the pagam, the pigima of the taste of iser, and would have fixed it up and would have made it not noticeable and would have made it okay. We don't say that. Given the tama iser pogma achshav kamo shehi havi pagam umuter. You don't start figuring out, well, I can adjust. I can adjust the food based on the Tam Pagum that the Yisra gave by spicing it in a certain way to nullify the negative taste of the Yisra. You don't have to go down that road. You can say, look, right now, the Tam of the Yisra is in the food, and that makes the Yisra taste bad. Good enough. Your food is now mutter, right? That's considered to be totally mutter. You don't have to start figuring out if it would be humanly possible to overcome that negative taste by changing around the way that you spice the food. So it's a kula that he's saying. Okay, Vayter, three lines from the bottom. Amar Rabbi Yavahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol sheta'amo u'mamasho aser, whenever you're dealing with something that it's not just tam, but it's mamashos also, meaning it's not just that you're eating a piece of kosher meat that happens to have tam of chazer in it. You're eating a piece of chazer. It's tamo u'mamasho, v'lokin alav, v'zeo zayis b'chdei achilas pras. Then the amount of iser that you have to eat is a kazayis b'chdei achilas pras. The amount of iser in order to get malchus that you have to eat is a kazayis b'chdei. Meaning, we know that we have shiurim halacha l'Moshe Misinai. That halacha l'Moshe Misinai, we are taught that there are shiurim for several things in the Torah. One of those things is a kezayis. The Gemara at the very beginning of Maseches Sukkah says challenges the idea that shiurim are halacha l'Moshe Misinai based on the pasuk Eretz Chita Sora Teina Gefen Rimon etc. And the Gemara says, don't we know that entire pasuk tells us shiurim for different things? And what shemen teaches us the shiur of a kezayis. Gemara says, yeah, that pasuk is not smachta bi'alma, but really shir is halacha l'moshe misinai. So the shir kezayis is halacha l'moshe misinai. And what is the shir kezayis? It's a size of an olive, obviously, but within what amount of time do you have to eat the size of an olive in order to be chayiv malchus? Bichdei achilas pras. That's also halacha l'moshe misinai. That the shir of kezayis is only if you eat the kezayis, bichdei achilas pras. That's what Rashi refers to over here. Al kagon zeh nemer shir kezayis, bichdei achilas pras, halacha l'moshe misinai. That's what we're talking talking about when there's actual iser in your food, not just tam of iser. When the actual iser gets mixed into your food, what's the difference between tam of iser and actual iser? Tam of iser is the following. Let's say I'm cooking chicken soup and a piece of chazer falls into my chicken soup. I stir it around, it's boiling hot, it's on the fire, and the taste of chazer goes into the chicken soup. I then remove the chazer. Now the chicken soup has tam of chazer. If I crush up the chazer into a million little pieces and mix it around in the chicken soup and do not remove it, now there's chazer in my chicken soup. So how much of the chazer do I eat? How much of the chicken soup do I have to eat in order to be chayiv, in order to be chayiv malchus for eating the chazer? I need to eat a kazayis of the chazer b'chdei achilas pras, within the amount of time that I'm eating a pras of the chicken soup. So that's the shir halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The Rashi, when in a couple places in Shas, whenever it says Shir Kazayis is Halachal Moshe Misinai, Rashi writes that Shir Kazayis li Isurim is Halachal Moshe Misinai. The Shir Kazayis of an Isur is Halachal Moshe Misinai. And it's a little bit strange because Shir Kazayis doesn't only apply for Isurim, for eating Chazer and for eating Nevela and for eating Trefa. The Shir Kazayis also works for mitzvahs. Shir Kazayis defines what Achila is. That Achila is when is a Kazayis. Less than a Kazayis, not called an Achila. So it's unusual that Rashi just says for Isurim. Well, it's also Shir Kazayis for Matzah and for Marah, for Karm Pesach, for mitzvahs. For mitzvahs, we have a Shir Kazayis also. So I don't recall who. One of the Achronim wanted to suggest that there is a rule in Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai based on a Rush. The Rush holds that there's such a rule in Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai that Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai has to come to give a Kula, not a Chumrah. That Halachas L'Moshe M'Sinai are always there to be Mekel. Let's say by Dine Mechitza, the idea of Lavud. It's a tremendous Kula that you can rely on Lavud when you build the Sukkah, that you don't need the walls to be solid walls. You have a lattice wall and that's okay. It's considered as if it's closed. So that's the idea of Lavud. So that's a tremendous Kula. Halachas L'Moshe M'Sinai generally are tremendous kulas. Now, had we not had a Halachas L'Moshe M'Sinai that tells me that the definition of Achila is B'Kazayis, what would I have thought? How much do I have to eat of Nevela Trefa in order to be Chayiv? I would have thought even a Mashahu. So it's a tremendous Kula to tell me, no, you're only Chayiv if you eat a Kazayis. By mitzvos, it's a Chumrah. Because I would have thought to be Yotzei Mitzvah Matzah, Mashahu, good enough. So it's a chumrah to say that you need a kazayis. So perhaps what Rashi is emphasizing is that don't think that this halacha l'moshe m'sinai is a chumrah, because fundamentally for most of its applications it's really going to be a kula. It's just that you can't split it and say that the definition of achila regarding isurim is a kazayis, and the definition of achila regarding mitzvos is a mashu. No, we're not going to say that. If we're redefining achila, we're redefining achila, but Rashi wants to emphasize the kula side of it. But anyway, in our Gemara, so Rabbi Yehuda just says, whenever you have the actual mamashas of the iser in the food, so kazayis b'chdei achilas pras, that's the amount that you get malchus for. Tam of lo mamasho. What if you have the tam of the iser, but not the mamashas of the iser? Aser ve'in lo kadav. Then it's aser, but you're not going to get malchus because you're not eating a kazayis of the iser. You could have had a whole bunch of chazer mixed around in your chicken soup, but as long as you remove that chazer, it's just tam of the chazer. It's not mamashas of the chazer. So you're not going to get malchus for it. Vimriba tam lefgam mutter. And then, but if the tam that it gave into your chicken soup is a tam pagum, it's actually a negative taste, then the whole thing becomes mutter. Then you're even allowed to eat it. Forget about aser. Now, what's the idea of aser? Why should tam alone be aser? So this is the concept we know of in Yerideya called tam ke'ikr. We know of it from here, right? This is the concept called tam ke'ikr. That when you have tam of something that laced in a food, that's considered ki'ikr. It's like the food itself. Now, it's not ki'ikr mamish because you don't get malchus on it. You don't get malchus when you eat kazayis of just tam of iser in your kosher food. But nevertheless, it's considered ki'ikr in regards to the iser. That when you taste the non-kosher in your kosher food, then that's at least aser. We'll discuss at some point whether that's daraisa or derabanan. So says Gemara, v'leima im nasan tam lefkam mutter. Why does it say im riba tam lefkam mutter? Why doesn't it just say im nasan tam lefkam mutter? What's the lashon of riba tam lefkam? So says Gemara, hakamashma. Tashmalan. This is the Chiddush. The Afal Gavdi Ikam Mili Achrenaisa. The Pagma Bahadei Vehilsa Kalishan Basud Reish Lakish. That even though there are other things that were pogum together with it, and that it's still going to be mutter. And we paskin like the Lishan Basra of Reish Lakish. What was Lishan Basra of Reish Lakish? The Kula way of Reish Lakish. That you don't say, as Rashi points out over here, Dein Omer Chasera Melech Chisera Melech. That you don't say, oh, it must be that there's a tam pagum, but that's only because it's missing salt or it needs salt. No, we don't pay attention to that. If this gave a tam pagum, that's it. That's enough to make it aser. So that's the chiddush of imriba tam lufkam, that it's mutter. That imriba tam lufkam, if this added tam lufkam, even if there are other things and other factors that might be able to fix it, or that you think might be able to compensate for it, still it's going to be mutter, because at the end of the day, it gave a tam pagum into your food. Amrav Kana, midivrei kulam nilmad, what we see from everybody, whose kulam Rashi goes through the list, Rav Yehuda, Rav Bar Bachana, Rav Dim, Reish Lakish, Rav Yavo, basically everyone who spoke on this daf, we see that nosin tam lufkam mutter, that there is such a rule that when something is nosin tam lufkam, that it is in fact mutter. Nosin tam lufkam is mutter. So Abai says, Bishlama mikul hulechi. I understand how you see from everybody else that nosin tam lufkam is mutter. It's directly, essentially, what they say. El Reish Lakish amru ka amar velelo svirle. But when Reish Lakish spoke about his idea of nosin tam lufkam, what did he say? He said, nosin tam lufkam sha'amru. This idea of nosin tam lufkam that people have said, lo shi'amru kadei rezu chaserim lelch, etc. So then he just gave a definition for how these people who hold nosin tam lufkam, how they define nosin tam lufkam. But Reish Lakish himself did not seem to attribute it to himself. He seemed to say that it was some shita that was out there, but that he doesn't necessarily subscribe to. So Amru Kamar Vlelo Svirle Mechal Di Ikalamadi Amar Nosin Tam Lufkam Aser. In fact, what you get from Reish Lakish is that even if Reish Lakish holds of it, even if he does subscribe to it, what you get from Reish Lakish is something that we didn't know beforehand, which is that there's probably a Mandi Amar out there that says that that it's Aser, that Nosin Tam Lufkam is Aser. Because why else would he say Sha Amru, that they are saying? So it says we're in. Yeah, you're exactly right. There in fact is a Shita that holds Nosin Tam Lufkam is Aser. Vatani, we have a Brisa. Echad nosin tam lufkam, yechad nosin tam lushvach, asr divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that both nosin tam lufkam as well as nosin tam lushvach is asr. Rabbi Shimon omer, lushvach asr, lufkam mutter. And Rabbi Shimon holds nosin tam lushvach is asr. When non kosher gives a positive taste into your food, it's asr. When it gives a negative taste, it's mutter. My time is Rabbi Meir. Where does Rabbi Meir get his idea from? That even nosin tam lufkam is going to be asr. He learns it very simply from the halachos of Hechsher Kalim, that we go in and we fight a war and we have all these clay Midian, we have all these Kalim that the Midianim used. What do we have to do? We have to kasha them. Why do you have to kasha them? Just wait 24 hours, or don't even wait 24 hours. You could assume that the last time they've been used is more than 24 hours ago. So what do you need to kasha them for? Whenever you use it, it's only going to be nosin tam lufkam anyway. Gili of the chavim, lav nosin tam lufkam hu, ve'asa rachmana. Don't we say that when you have a kli that's not kosher, the whole idea of hechsher kelim tells you that there's no concept of nosin tam lufkam mutter, because you would never have to be machsher kli. All you'd have to do is wait 24 hours, and it would be nosin tam lufkam. Zachinami, lo shna. So he says, so you see that there is no concept in general of nosin tam lufkam. That's Rabbi Meir's shita. V'idach, what's Rabbi Shimon going to respond to that? That sounds like a pretty strong taina. The whole parsha in the Torah of Gilei Klei Midian screams nosin tam lufkam is aser. So v'idach, what's Rabbi Shimon going to answer back? Kid Rav Huna Breid Rav Chia, like Rav Huna Breid Rav Chia said, Dam Rav Huna Breid Rav Chia, lo aser Torah el kadera bas yoma del lo lufkam hu. That the Torah only asers for, meaning what really needs kashering really is only a kadera bas yoma, a kadera that was cooked that same day, where that was cooked in that same day with non-kosher, where it's actually not tam pagum. The idach, and Rav Meir would respond, kedera bas yom anami, yefshad lo pagum porta. Even if it's still within 24 hours, it's got to be at least a little bit pagum. It's got to be, meaning if after 24 hours it becomes completely pagum, it can't be good for the taste to be stuck in metal, to be stuck in the metal walls of the pot. So it's got to be at least a little bit pagum, so it should be mutter even within 24 hours, if you're really old of nosin tam lufkam. So anyway, that's the shita of Rav Meir. Tomorrow we're going to do the shita of Rabbi Shimon, and we're going to discuss the concept of Ein Roi L'Achila, and maybe we'll discuss in much more detail Bezus Hashem tomorrow.